All right, 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, let's go ahead and read verse number 1. 1 John chapter number 4, and verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the beautiful sunshine outside. Most of all, Lord, we thank you for the sunshine in our hearts. Lord, thank you for Jesus Christ, your Son, who came and died to give us life. There'd be no reason for us to live. There'd be no reason, Lord, for us to carry on if it was not for Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who was sacrificed for our sins. Lord, I pray that you bless the message this morning. Bless those who have come. Open our hearts, our ears to your word, to your truth. Lord, help me as I preach. Lord, I know that I am nothing. Lord, I'm just dust. I pray that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit, God. Use me this morning. In your name I pray. Amen. Look at verse 3. The Bible says there in verse 3, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. The word Antichrist is mentioned just 5 times in the Bible, and only in the first and second epistles of John. The word Antichrist means against Christ. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, the Bible says, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. The Antichrist mentioned here is believed to be the first beast talked about in Revelation chapter 13, and I don't want to get into all that. But when the trumpet sounds and the redeemed are called up together to meet the Lord in the air, one man empowered by Satan will rise up against God and claim to be the Savior of the world. That one man is going to be called the Antichrist. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, we see the word Antichrist plural mentioned. The Bible says there, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know it is the last time. The Bible says in 2 John verse 7, many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an Antichrist. Now, it is these Antichrists who are responsible for the spirit of Antichrist mentioned in our text. The Bible is talking about the mindset of the world today that is against Christ. Anti-Christianism. That spirit of Antichrist, the Bible talks about here, is obvious in the world today. Now, if it was evident in the Apostle John's time, it is even more apparent today. There is a bias against God today like we have never seen before. The world's posture is against the Bible and against Christ and against the gospel of Jesus Christ. We see it in the hardness of people's hearts against God. We see it in the hostility of the world towards righteousness. We see it in the hatred for truth that the world has against God in the Bible. A monument of the Ten Commandments was removed from the Alabama Judicial Building. It's now in a crate in a basement. That's what man thinks of God's laws. They don't want to be seen. They don't want to hear it. They want to crate it up and put it in a basement where nobody can see it, where nobody can hear it. And since that time, since those commandments, that monument has been removed from that judicial building in Alabama, plaques and monuments of God's laws have been either removed or covered all over this country. You can't tell me that there is not a spirit of Antichrist in the world today. In California, a Christian group wanted to use a meeting room in a local library for occasional gatherings. We're told by the library director that all religious group meetings had been banned. Now, what right does he have to do that? He's got no right. 2 Christians in New York have been denied employment with state institutions merely because they graduated from Christian schools. Both of these individuals successfully passed all the required tests in the application process. One of the candidates even has a degree from a New York State public college. Denied employment because they were Christians. More than 85 residents of a retirement community in Florida have been banned from meeting in their community center for worship on Sunday mornings, even though all other secular groups are permitted to use the common room for meetings, and fairness in housing laws prohibits discrimination on basis of religion. Alpha Iota Omega, a Christian fraternity founded at the University of North Carolina in 1999, has been officially derecognized by the college. The fraternity insisted that the brothers affirm and live by strict Christian principles. In its constitution and bylaws, AIO was set up as an explicitly Christian fraternity with an evangelical Protestant theology. Few in numbers, members are selected based on Christian tenets and must affirm a statement of faith. They're also required to follow Christian standards of conduct. AIO chose 7 for emphasis, in addition to holiness, discipleship, and others. 1 limits sexual activity to marriage between a man and a woman. This standard obviously excludes extramarital and homosexual conduct, reflecting traditional Christian morals. Now, what's wrong with that? There's not nothing in the world wrong with that. In 2001, Chancellor Moser put out a policy statement on non-discrimination. It reaffirmed no discrimination in employment decisions or educational programs based on age, sex, race, color, national origin, religion, or disability. In September 2003, AIO came up for renewal of its official status. One requirement was that each student organization comply with university policies on non-discrimination, including the one on sexual orientation. Based on their rules and consciences, AIO members decided they could not admit students who disagree with their religious tenets and who are unwilling to adhere to traditional standards of sexual morality, stating that these two things are basic to why AIO exists. John Curtis, Assistant Director for Student Activities and Organizations at the University of North Carolina, pulled the plug on AIO. The AIO fraternity is currently suing the University of North Carolina. Anti-Christians even have their own website now. The churcharson.com website describes Christianity as a form of mind control and calls for the enemies of religious faith to burn down houses of worship. The site's author also advocates the killing of true believers and says he looks forward to the day when the executions of diehard Christians will commence. That's the spirit of Antichrist. It's present. It's in the world today. I'll never forget, me and some friends were passing out tracts at a Michigan State football game. They were playing Notre Dame. There was lots of people there. I mean, there was thousands of people there, and we had some gospel tracts we were passing out. We had some gospel signs, and we had our Bibles. And I'm telling you what, as soon as they saw what we were doing, as soon as they figured it out, they wanted nothing to do with us. They were cursing us. They were spitting at us. They were throwing beer cans at us. They wanted nothing to do with the message that we had to bring. We felt the spirit of Antichrist that day. It's evident. It's here. It's in the world. The spirit of Antichrist is opposed to God. Everything that God is for, the spirit of Antichrist is against. We are seeing so much opposition to God in these last days, and especially in America of all places. There's so much negativity towards God, it's almost scary. President Bush, along with Al Gore and Ralph Nader, were being interviewed a few years back in the last election. And they asked these three men who their heroes were. Who was it that they looked up to? Ralph Nader said he looked up to somebody who founded the Greenpeace movement or something. I don't know, something wacko like that. And Al Gore said his hero was some author. And they asked President Bush who his hero was. And President Bush said, "My hero is Jesus Christ." And the man doing the interview just about fell backward off his seat. He said, "Why?" And President Bush said, "Because He saved me and changed my life." And ever since then, the news media has been out to get President Bush. Ever since then, the Democrats and the liberals in this country have been out to get President Bush because he's a Christian, because he believes in God. He didn't say, "I believe in Buddha." He didn't say Buddha was my hero. He didn't say Muhammad was my hero. If he would have said that, it would have been all right. But he said, "Jesus Christ is my hero." And he said, why? Because he had saved him and changed his life. And they hate his guts for it. And they're out to get him. Meanwhile, his adversary, Senator Kennedy, supposed Catholic, professed Catholic, has gone through three religious advisors since the time of his nomination. His last religious advisor, get this, was a woman, a minister, and she was helping the atheist who wants to get the phrase "under God" taken out of the pledge. This is Kerry's religious advisor, and she's helping an atheist who wants to get the phrase "under God" taken out of the Pledge of Allegiance. Sounds like a good, sound Christian man to me, Senator Kerry. But the news media is for him. News media is against President Bush. What I'm trying to say is there's a spirit of Antichrist in the world today. It's evident. God's laws are being contested. God's statutes are being countered. God's judgments are being combated. The spirit of Antichrist is opposed to God. The spirit of Antichrist is not only opposed to God, but the spirit of Antichrist is openly evil. The world is not ashamed of their wicked ways. They are proud and bold in their sin and their rebellion against God and His Word today, showing no reverence or respect or regard for God and His Word. We live in a day and age of open disobedience, like it was said in Judges chapter 21. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That's the day in which we're living in. Do what feels good. Do what you think is all right. Do what you want to do. Don't let anybody tell you what you can or cannot do. We live in a day and age of open defiance. The Bible says there in Psalm chapter 36, verse 1, the transgression of the wicked is that there is no fear of God before His eyes. And that's the day and age in which we live. There is no fear of God before the eyes of the wicked today. We live in a day and age of not only open disobedience and open defiance, but we live in a day and age of open depravity. Partial birth abortion, just another word for murder. That's all it is. Sodomite rites, gay marriage. Who would have ever thought? Gay marriage goes against everything that the Bible and God stands for. That's a slap in the face of Almighty God. We live in a day and age where there's pornography and nudity and perversion splattered all over the TV and all over the internet. The average age of a kid being exposed to pornography on the internet is 11 years old. We live in a day and age of open depravity. The spirit of Antichrist is at work in the world today, and it's openly evil. The spirit of Antichrist, not only is it openly evil, and not only is it opposed to God, but the spirit of Antichrist demands that God be overthrown. That's the direction where we're going. That's the direction that we're going in today. See, the world does not want to be governed or ruled by a holy, righteous God. So this world, filled with the spirit of Antichrist, is trying their hardest to impeach and remove God from office. But I got news for that crowd. It's not going to happen. God has all power over this world. God is still in control. There's no one strong enough to fight against God. It's not even a fair fight. And they can curse and they can blaspheme God all they want. But it's God that's going to have the last word. And guess what? I'm glad I'm on God's side. If you're not on God's side, you better get on God's side, because you're in for a one ride straight to hell. That's what's going to get you. Excuse my language. But when the Christians are gone, a few years when nobody's here, when the rapture's taking place, you come here and the doors are locked or the doors are open. You come here on service Sunday mornings at 11 and nobody's here. It's empty. We're all in heaven with God and the Antichrist is in control. You're going to wish that you'd gotten on God's side when you had the chance. Let me say this. Yes, the spirit of Antichrist demands that God be overthrown. And yes, the spirit of Antichrist is openly evil. And yes, the spirit of Antichrist is opposed to God. And we see it everywhere today. But let me say this in closing. The spirit of Antichrist can be overcome. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." Say, what can we do now, today, to help overcome that spirit of Antichrist that is in the world? Now, we know it's the last time. We know we don't have very much time left before Christ returns. What does God want us to do? Does God want us just to give up the fight? Lay down and die? And let the spirit of Antichrist take over this world? No, that's not what God wants us to do. God wants us to stand and fight. God wants us to stand for what's right. The Bible says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. God wants us to overcome the spirit of Antichrist in the world today. So how do we do that? First of all, we expose it. We have to call it what it is. We have to reveal this movement of anti-Christianism in the world today. And secondly, we have to engage it. We have to meet it head on. We can't afford to back down from it. We have to fight it. And then we've got to try to erase it. Let's face it, this spirit of Antichrist is hindering the gospel. We have to fight it. It's hindering the gospel because I think Christians have let it. We've just kind of sat back and said, oh, well, Christ is going to come. We're going to be out of here in a few years anyway. So what's the use? What's the bother? And we're just kind of coasting until Christ returns. Well, what if Christ doesn't come back for 30 years? I'm not being a heretic. I'm just saying, what if he doesn't come back in 30 years or 50 years or 60 years? We don't know the day or the hour. I mean, he could come back tonight, but then he could come back 100 years from now. We don't know. Where's America going to be 100 years from now? What kind of future are our children going to have, our grandchildren going to have 100 years from now in America? We've got to do something now. We can't sit around. We can't coast. It's not too late for us Christians to try and negate some of the bias and prejudice against God and the Bible that's out there today. We may never erase it all, but we can eliminate some. We can eliminate some of the negativity, some of the bias that we see today. You say, how? The Bible tells us, by simply not allowing ourselves to be overcome of evil, but overcoming evil with good. Joseph did not allow himself to be overcome of evil when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife to commit adultery. Instead, he overcame evil with good. David refused to be overcome of evil when Goliath was threatening the armies of Israel. Instead, David overcame evil with good. He said, is there not a cause to fight? Hezekiah refused to become overcome of evil when Sennacherib, king of Syria, came and his whole army and said, we're going to wipe you out, Israel. You might as well just give up now. Hezekiah refused to be overcome of evil. Instead, he overcame evil with good. Daniel refused to be overcome of evil when they said, Daniel, you can't pray. If you pray, we're going to throw you in the den of lions. Daniel said, I will not be overcome of evil. Daniel opened his window and he prayed. And he prayed and he prayed. And they threw him in a lion's den, but God took care of him. He was not overcome of evil. Instead, he overcame evil with good. Jesus Christ refused to be overcome of evil. Instead, Jesus Christ overcame evil with good. Jesus Christ won the victory over death, hell, and Satan. And one day, Jesus Christ is going to come back on a white horse and he's going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's going to rule and reign on this earth, and we're going to have peace, and we're going to have joy, and everything's going to be perfect. But until then, we've got to do our best as Christians to fight against the spirit of Antichrist that's in the world today and refuse to be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Let me close with this story. A trial judge over four North Carolina counties gave official notice to his court clerks that he intended to remove all references to God from his courtrooms. He decided to do this in three ways. First of all, witness oaths would no longer require people to name God. For more than 200 years, North Carolina statutes have specified the language of the oath administered to court witnesses, requiring the witness to swear that the evidence you shall give up to the court and jury in this case and this cause now on trial shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. The judge's new oath left God entirely out of the picture. Secondly, witnesses would no longer swear on the Bible. In the judge's new courtroom procedures, no witnesses were to be asked to place their hand on the Bible, again overturning centuries of American law and tradition. Thirdly, God's name would be removed from traditional court announcement. In a court ceremony used for hundreds of years, all North Carolina court sessions are open with the courtroom bailiff, who is a deputy sheriff, proclaiming, God save the state and this honorable court. The judge informed his courtroom bailiffs this summer that they were no longer permitted to use this traditional proclamation because it invoked the name of God. Three brave North Carolina court officials, Christians, refused to compromise their allegiance to God. The court clerks refused to administer the judge's new oaths. As publicly elected officials, it was their right to follow North Carolina law. The judge responded to the continuation of this tradition by threatening to hold in contempt any bailiff who continued to invoke God's name in traditional courtroom proclamation. So they contacted the Christian Law Association. The Christian Law Association filed a traditional mixed conduct complaint with the North Carolina's Judicial Standards Commission on their behalf. In response, the judge issued a threat to jail for contempt any bailiff who refused to comply with his order and who continued to make the traditional invocation at the opening of court proceedings. The time was short. There were only a few days remaining before the courtroom showdown was scheduled. One of the bailiffs would be opening the court session the following week. The Christian Law Association filed a petition with the North Carolina Supreme Court asking that the court order the judge to follow the state's required oath procedures and to permit the bailiffs to invoke God's protection on the court and the state without penalty. The day came, and with Christians praying and showing their support, one of the clerks stood and opened the court proceedings with the words, "God save the state and this honorable court," knowing that he was facing possible jail time. The judge was visibly bothered by the stand that the clerk had taken, but he said nothing. That afternoon, the North Carolina Supreme Court had granted CLA's motion and ordered the judge to not hold these courageous Christians in contempt. In an unbelievably short period of time, the North Carolina Supreme Court had ruled in favor of the Christian Law Association's petition, and minutes before stepping into the courtroom that morning, the judge had been informed of the North Carolina Supreme Court's ruling against what he had done. Had it not been for the courage of a handful of Christians, North Carolina, one lone trial court judge might have been successful in removing the name of God from his courtrooms. One judge might have single-handedly succeeded in overturning centuries of legal procedure and tradition in violation of state law if these brave Christians had not stood up for what they knew to be right. Say, why? What was the purpose? Why did these Christians make such a big deal about this? They didn't want to be overcome of evil. And because they didn't want to be overcome of evil, they decided they were going to overcome evil with good. We are of God, little children. And we have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the word of God. Lord, we're just a handful of Christians here, Lord, this morning, who love you, and Lord, want to do right. Want to live this book. Want to live what we say we believe. Lord, we're not perfect. But God, I pray that you'd help us to take a stand, to be the testimonies that we need to be. Lord, I'm not asking, Lord, for you to make us into a group of troublemakers, Lord. I just pray, God, that you'd fill us with your Spirit. Lord, that we would try the spirits, whether they be of God. That we would, Lord, combat this spirit of Antichrist that we see in the world today, even in our own community, God. The spirit of Antichrist is at work. God, help us to stand. Help us to fight against it. Give us the strength and the power in your name to make a difference for you, with you, God. Because without you, Lord, we can do nothing. Without you, we will fail. Lord, help us to be on your side, truly, and stand for truth, and stand for right. I pray, Lord, if there's anybody here this morning that's not saved, what a sobering thought to think that Lord, when you do come back and you call us Christians home and the trumpet does sound, what a sobering thought to think that there might be somebody here this morning who's lost and unsaved that could be left behind. Lord, I pray if there's anybody here in that situation this morning, God, that they would get that settled, that they would seek help, that they would seek someone to show them the way of salvation. Maybe they know. Maybe all they need to do is get down upon their knees and cry out to God, repent of their sins, and trust Christ as their Savior. Maybe that's all they need to do. Maybe they know, but they haven't done it yet. I pray, God, that you convict them to the point, Lord, where they can't move, they can't leave this building until they get that settled. Thank you so much, Lord, for your power, your word, your truth. Help us to live it. Bless us now, Lord, as we leave. In your name I pray. Amen. Brother Scott, would you like to lead us in a song of invitation? I just want you to know I'm going to be up here at the front after the service is over, after the last verse is sung. Scott closes in prayer. If you are interested in trusting Christ as your Savior, I'm going to be right down over here. Man, woman, boy, or girl, if you're not sure of your salvation, you come see me after service. You get that settled before you leave here today. It's the most important decision you'll ever make.